words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, for me, the summary today, three words, penitence, trust, and faith. And what caught my attention when I was reading through the lessons is the song. The very first verse is, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?" So anybody in here ever be a little bit timid or fearful? Anybody? Be afraid from whatever it is, all the stress and strains of life, or the not knowing, or thinking we can't do this or can't do that? Well, the very last verse in the song tells us how to get over our fear. O tarry and await the Lord's pleasure. Be strong, and he shall comfort your heart. Wait patiently for the Lord. It's all about our decision. Are we going to trust God or not? Are we going to trust ourselves more than God? Then the next is, who do we want to please? Do we want to please ourselves, or do we choose to please God? In the first part of the collect, it's kind of got some cheer to it, good news, and then a little bit of what our responsibility as God's children, what it's supposed to be. O God, whose glory is always to have mercy, and think about that, God's glory is mercy. Be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and I think that's just about everybody. So we're praying and asking God to be gracious to us. But there's a little bit of a catch. And we're also asking God to help us do this next thing. We are to have penitent hearts. We're to be sorry. We're to actually strive to be good. And we're supposed to be steadfast. Steadfast in our faith. So that we can hold on to Jesus. Hold on to our Lord. Hold on to our Savior. Now I'm going to kind of go right into Genesis, which is a little bit of a change, but still it's a cheery thought, basically. It's comforting and encouraging, and it's God's word to Abram encouraged him towards trusting him and towards faith. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and God said, "Do not be afraid, Abram. Why? Because I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great." And we get a little glimpse into the way Abram thought. He said, "Oh Lord, God, what will you give me? I continue childless." So for Abram, because it wasn't Abraham yet, he was still Abram, family, having children, that was important to him. And he complained because the heir in the house of Eliezer of Damascus, that's who was going to inherit everything, and he wasn't too pleased with that. But then the word of the Lord came to Abram, and he said, "This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir." And then he tells him, he says, "Come, look outside, look up into heaven, count the stars if you can." Now we all know that that's impossible to do for us. He said, "If you can count the stars and look and see how many, well, that's how many descendants you are going to be, you are going to have." And then what happened? Abram believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned that to him as righteousness. That's the main thing, is our trust and faith in God. Whether we think it can happen or not, it doesn't matter. We are to put our faith and trust in the Lord. And we will learn probably in the next few weeks, so I won't go into much of it. And it kind of made me smile, because we know in Genesis that Eve was the one that suggested to Adam about the apple. Well, poor Sarai suggested to Abram, well, since I'm not bearing children, you take my slave and have children with her. But it doesn't work out like that in the end. God does fulfill all of his promises, and Abraham has lots of descendants. So again, trust and faith, and then remembering to wait on the Lord, because God never rushes in. I think Sarah was getting a little bit stressed. Not that I would have been any better, probably not even as good. Well, then we get to St. Paul in Philippians, and this too is a warning. A warning, but then also good news. Paul tells the people of Philippi, he said, "For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears, living as the enemy of Jesus." Really, Paul was adamant against that. He was passionate for him, for himself, for everybody, all the people that would listen to him, that they would turn their hearts and follow the Lord, even with tears. He had that much passion. He cared that much for those people. He wanted them not to be enemies of Christ, but to follow him. And then in the warning, he said, because their God is the belly. So what does that mean? Those people basically wanted to have what they wanted, when, where, how, and how much, and in what way. But what Paul was trying to tell them was, see what pleases God. Follow God's will through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if we do this, and here comes the good news, our citizenship will be in heaven. And it is from there that we are expecting our Savior, Christ, because he will transform us, our humiliation, into his glory. And if we remember, what is the glory of God? We prayed it in the collect, mercy. We are to be just like Jesus, merciful, compassionate, loving, trusting, but also totally obedient, trusting, and faithful to our God. And then finally, we get to the gospel. Some of the Pharisees, so we know there were a few good guys in the Pharisees. They weren't all bad all the time. They said to Jesus, they warned him, they said, get away from here because Herod wants to kill you. And he tells them, he says, well, you go tell that fox for me. That was living on the dangerous side, but it did not faze Jesus at all. He said, tell him, listen, I'm casting out demons, performing cures today, tomorrow, and on the third day, I finished my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way. Jesus was never pushed away from God's will ever. He had something to do. He was going to do it. And nothing was going to get in his way. Not Herod or anyone or anything. And then we have a plea from Jesus. And to me, this is just so beautiful, so poignant. Because he's saying to them, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Have you ever heard that story about how, I'm not sure where or when, but it was back a couple of years, and there was a fire, and there was a hen, and the fireman had found the hen, and it had its wings all out, and it was burned to death. It was toast. And then they picked it up. And what did they find? All of the little baby chickens, safe and sound. And that's what this reminds me of. Because Jesus gave his life for us. He gathered us, even though we don't and aren't willing all the time. He did it anyway. So Jesus has saved us. And when we turn away from him, what gift are we turning away? So this Lent, we might want to kind of reflect and think on, do we take Jesus' love and his sacrifice and his way seriously in our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our bodies? Or are we really willing to let Jesus gather us to himself, wanting to be his? Are we willing to share that love, that immense love that our Lord had for us, no matter who we are or what we do? All we have to do is to turn to him, be penitent, contrite, and repent. And we can trust and have faith in God because he is steadfast, even when we are not. So what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, please pray with me one more time, the prayer of the week, because when we read through it before, I thought, oh, this is just perfect. Loving God, there is so much darkness in my life.